640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An angry President Biden's lashed out at Special Prosecutor Robert Herr over his report claiming Mr. Biden's significant memory loss. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
The White House is on damage control after that report described President Biden's memory as, quote, hazy and poor. The president insisting that he is the most qualified person to lead this country.
Donald Trump's won GOP caucuses in Nevada and the U.S. Virgin Islands on the heels of Supreme Court arguments over whether his name can remain on the Colorado ballot. Correspondent Jan Crawford.
They have fast-tracked this case. Obviously, it's a momentous case, so it's one we would think we would get at the end of June, you know, when they have all the big decisions. Not here. I would expect a decision potentially in a week or two.
Vladimir Putin tells the Tucker Carlson Network he's willing to negotiate the release of a Wall Street Journal reporter, but still believes Evan Gershkovich guilty.
He was caught red-handed when he was secretly getting confidential information.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's never happened before. A tornado touched down in February for the first time ever in Wisconsin last night. Storm spotters are confirming tornado touchdowns in Green Rock and Jefferson counties in south-central Wisconsin. Damage is widespread. A bipartisan bill to ban deepfake audio and video from political ads in Wisconsin is moving through the state legislature. Beloit Democratic Senator Mark Spreitzer at a committee hearing yesterday.
This is kind of that starting point that I think everybody can agree we should get in place ahead of this year's election that isn't going to be overly burdensome, that isn't going to go too far. Maybe it doesn't go far enough, we'll see, but it's a good place to start.
The bill would impose $1,000 fines on the makers of ads that use artificial intelligence but don't disclose it. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A high was set yesterday and another may be set today. According to the National Weather Service, yesterday's high in the city of Milwaukee was a record. It was officially 56 degrees yesterday. That exceeds the previous high of 55 established in 1990. According to the Weather Service, the typical high temperature during this season is around 32 degrees. Internet subsidies are about to expire, impacting more than 4,000 Wisconsin households. Melissa Kay has more.
This will affect more than 400,000 low-income households in the state who receive help with their internet bills each month. The funding is expected to last through April of 2024 and will run out completely sometime in May if no other federal funding is allocated. Many households rely on the ACP to pay for high-speed internet service they need for school, work, healthcare, and more.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
The Bucks with another loss. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks slump continues. They lost at home to the Timberwolves, 129-105. Doc Rivers says his team was tired from their five-game road trip. Rivers asked about the team trading for one of his former players on the 76ers, Patrick Beverley.
He is a very, very high IQ player, especially defensively and even offensively with his movement and stuff and setting picks. He's also an instigator. He's a big talker defensively, and that meaning trash talk, meaning he talks on defense. And I think those are some of the things that we need.
The Bucks also traded Robin Lopez to the Sacramento Kings for a cash consideration. Robin showed up to the Bucks game reading a book. His twin brother, Brooke, back after missing three games, was asked if he spotted Robin in the seats in street clothes.
Did you notice Robin sitting courtside, eating popcorn?
Yeah, he was there. He's found a way to show up somehow.
That's the Bucks' Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is still going to be mild today, but we have some pretty big changes coming our way. Today, sunshine with a high of 51 by early afternoon. Temperatures are going to start to drop by later today, down into the low to mid 40s by late afternoon. Wind today, southwest at 15 to 25. Tomorrow will be sunny and even colder with a high of 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
I got serious about staying fit just a couple of years ago. Now 5Ks, yoga, and smart nutrition are all part of my weekly routine. Part of my eating right plan? Country Hearth Breads. Natural breads with the whole grains and natural ingredients my body needs to perform at its best. Just a slice of toasted multigrain with peanut butter before a workout, and I'm ready to roll. Country Hearth is the easy choice because it's good for me and great tasting too. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up? This is a
big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like
a
dig. Stop. Right on.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find.
Good morning and welcome to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
I'm really fine, man. We've been waiting on this day for a while. We're really excited. It's Friday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is on board. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's a dangerous, perilous drive out here. There was some kind of an accident. I had a detour to get here early enough so we could meet with the senator before we started on the air here.
Yeah, well, we've got a very special guest, as promised. I want to say good morning to Senator Ron Johnson. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Love that bumper music. Enjoyed our initial conversation here. Hope we didn't steal all of our thunder. But
no. We got nothing to say.
No.
You could we got all kinds
silent
of things to talk
mics
about.
For an hour.
Yeah, we want to, first off, thank you for accepting the invitation. You know, sometimes it's hard to get elected officials, even if they're school board members, to come and sit down and have a conversation, let alone a United States senator. So we're very much appreciative of you accepting the invitation.
I appreciate the invitation. As I said, I'm an open book. Based on my time frame, I like doing this stuff.
Yeah. So Sandy, I think there was something you wanted to say.
Well, you know, one of the things we did when you were scheduled earlier and rescheduled, but before that and then ongoing, we've had a process in which listeners could access a website and come up with questions that they were interested in asking you. And then there was an algorithmic process to try and weight those questions based on the importance that people put on it. Everyone who came in, they wrote a question, then they looked at all the other questions and they weighted them and whatever. And it was interesting.
So who came up with that algorithm? Because that's a hot topic now with AI.
Yeah, I know. Well, algorithm isn't the right word. You know, algorithm just means a mathematical formula, for God's sake. But the process was interesting because the questions that it then produced for us didn't relate to what's ongoing right now in Congress. It didn't relate to immigration. It didn't relate to Ukraine. It really related much more to what this show talks about a great deal, which is sort of Tom, Dick, and Mary and their situation and the things that they worry about. And so we thought maybe today we would try to focus more on that. You've had plenty of questions pestering you about what's going on right now, and everyone's probably understanding what the answers would be. So we thought we'd address that more directly. And I thought I'd tee it up by something that we've talked about on the show, which is essentially the budget that Tom, Dick, and Mary face, the median income family. And and it ends up that the median income in Wisconsin is $73,300, and that sounds like enough, but it's two breadwinners, and so that's the average, and the average family has 1.5 kids. The average tax on that income is $18,000. The health bill that they would pay for buying their own insurance, because they probably have to with that kind of income level, is over $16,000. The average rent or housing cost is $20,000. If they have daycare, it's going to be $16,000. You end up going through a process where I haven't even plugged in utilities or anything to do with a car or anything else, and you've chewed up $73,000. And so the Wall Street Journal today pointed out that even though the economy is robust, you know, we talk about it in this macro basis, economists say things are going great. And we said that during the Trump years. We're saying that during the Biden years. The analysis by the Wall Street Journal said that the economy during all that period was robust, but the party out of power thought it wasn't, and the party in power thought it was in each case. But Tom, Dick, and Mary have struggled through that whole time period. And my question is, can't government do something about this? If these people moved to another country, they wouldn't have the health care costs that I just listed. They wouldn't have the education debt that they have. They wouldn't have a whole bunch of these. And furthermore, when I started in work and you started in work, and when all these things were different because there was a single breadwinner that got you the middle class, you had health care at work, and now you don't. So what do we do about that?
Well, first of all, let's talk about things we agree on. I agree we should be talking about this because that is what most people are concerned about. I mean, we've got issues, as you say, in Washington, D.C., and you know they come and go, but you know people have to live their lives. And I think the good news is on the major goals in life, we share those goals. You know, we want safety. We want security. We want a level of prosperity and opportunity so we can raise our kids. We want to be able to raise our kids the way we want to. So those are areas we agree on. And one thing I learned coming from the private sector is you don't accomplish much in the private sector arguing all the time. You try and focus on the areas of agreement. You have something I want to buy. I want to buy it. Okay, good. That's an area of agreement. Now we can argue over what the price is. So you asked me, so first of all, I hope you're not saying that's my fault.
No, I
know you're not. You know, again, solutions are not easy. One thing government has done is mortgage our children's future. We're approaching $35 trillion in debt. And the Uniparty, during the pandemic, a spending blowout. We went from spending $4.4 trillion for the federal government in 2019 to now we pretty well got a baseline of $6.4 trillion. A dollar you held at the start of the Biden administration is now worth 85 cents. And again, I'm not laying that up there's spending we probably didn't need to do when Biden came into office, but there was trillions spent before that. You print all these dollars, it causes inflation, and that damage is done. So you've got inflation that's come down now, but a dollar is worth 85 cents, which does not help a family making $73,000. The cost of a mortgage has doubled for a new home. Interest rates went up to, approaching 7%, back and down a little bit. So, again, there's a lot of stuff when government spends money it doesn't have, and that's what we're doing now. We had had a $2 trillion deficit last year, and that's unsustainable.
Let me just follow up on that, though, because part of the reason for the deficit is we reduce tax. I mean, the deficits are the result of revenue stream in and expenditures going out, and we have reduced revenues in the process, and the deficits –
I think most Americans like to keep their hard-earned money.
We can
argue whether the tax cuts from 2017 2018 paid for themselves. They were well on their way of paying for themselves. Again, you can all but again, in general, I would like Americans to keep more of their hard-earned money than to ship it off to government. That status score was $1.5 trillion. Last year we just had a $2 trillion deficit, and that's because of spending going from $4.4 trillion primarily a spending problem.
So before we get down that road, I don't want us to miss out on the fact that the American people aren't making a wage or earning enough money. We can go down the road about the tax breaks and all those things, but that doesn't address the fact that the average American is struggling to even survive. and it's not getting any better. That's the real issue. That's the real question, whether or not
taxes. That's one of the reasons you want businesses to have maintain as much of their profits as possible so they can reinvest it into their factories and pay higher wages. The more you tax businesses, the less money they have to increase wages.
Senator, except that the record after the tax cut was a great deal of buyback. I mean, the businesses invest money if it's going to improve their share price. And they do a calculation.
If they buy back their shares, that goes back to the shareholders, and then those shareholders take that money and probably invest it in other things. That's the way a free market economy works. There's not necessarily anything bad about how the money flows through the economy. What you want to do is you want to incentivize economic activity. You want people, entrepreneurs, to be able to have resources and access to capital markets.
Yeah. It's not working for the average American.
It's working for a lot of people, and it works a whole lot better than socialist systems do as well. So, not perfect, okay? But our government's not perfect. Our tax system is way too complex.
So tell the American people who are struggling on a day-to-day basis, we can't accept that government's not perfect. People are saying we're Americans, we live in the wealthiest nation on earth, and we deserve to not struggle the way we are struggling. That's what's at the center of what I think Sandy is clearly stating.
Well, again, I think one of the divides, and I think, quite honestly, the greatest threat to this nation right now is the division. It's a horrible division.
Let me just quick say,
it's unfortunate because we're not a naturally divided people. As I started out earlier saying, we share the same goals. So why are we so divided? I would argue it's because there are people that are pushing division, and I wish they would stop. So again, I'm trying to focus on the areas of agreement. But how do you actually grow an economy so it's successful?
The economy is exploding.
We do know how to do it.
The economy is not the issue. It's exploding. Whether or not the average person is getting a share of that is the issue.
And that's always an issue in terms of allocation of resources. Listen, I do not like the growing wealth gap. I had my own proposal. It was called a true Warren Buffett tax. So I would have taken all the C-corps, I would turn them into pass-through entities, tax business income at the shareholder level. I mean, you have to get into the beauty of the plan. There's some really good, but one of the main things it would do is it'd stop all this accumulation of cash in C-corps that never gets taxed at the shareholder level. That'd be one of the solutions. Again, it's kind of wonkish maybe, but that's one of the things I would try and do to try and decrease that wealth gap, which I do not think is healthy.
But just when you get to this budget, the thing that I got into this, I'm an economist sort of at heart and believe in free market, the rest of it. But taxes aren't the problem for this family. If you cut their tax in half to $9,000, they'd still be living paycheck.
No, I would say currently right now, inflation was a big problem.
When a
dollar starts it becomes 85 cents, and the fact you have this looming debt, so guys, the debt crisis when it hits, and it will hit.
So
let's do this.
We have to take a break.
844-967-2789 is the number. Very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. We're on it to have Senator Ron Johnson in the studio. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You're tuned in to 540 AM WAUK, the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands at up to 95% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
I like your bumper music.
Well, thank you.
Right. Well, it's got my toes tapped.
All right.
And we didn't stop talking during the break either.
welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. We didn't get a chance to play Green Eyed Lady long enough. But anyway, in the studio, United States Senator Ron Johnson, it's great to have him. In the studio, we got a lot to talk about in such a little time. Sandy, I think there was something you wanted to respond to before.
Yeah, just
we got a lot of questions that we need to get
the budget,
to.
The budget this family faces isn't solved with reduced taxes, because even if you cut their tax in half, they're still up against it. And they're still living paycheck to paycheck, and too much of America is living paycheck to paycheck. And I think actually what's really promising is the fact that if we both identify the same problem, now we're talking about what the solution is, and we can disagree about solutions, but if we identify problems together, then we sit down at a table and start talking about the ways to fix it. And my concern is, and maybe you share it, Senator, Washington isn't capable of doing that right now. They're not capable.
I'm not a fan. Trust me. No, I think Washington screws more things up than they get right. It's just true. I'm not proposing tax cuts. Okay. I voted for the one because, you know, we weren't competitive. We had all this money parked out overseas. That money has come back. I was not a real fan of the tax reform we did. I voted against it until we made sure that 95% of American businesses were treated somewhat more fairly compared to C corps. I mean, they were only going to cut taxes for the top 5% of companies. So I'm the guy that said no. All the mom and pop shops, all the LLCs, all the partnerships, all the subchapter S's, they have to get taxed. So I'm the guy that dug my heels in and made sure there's some fair treatment. But I was not happy with that tax bill at all. I'm not proposing tax cuts at this point. What I'm saying, though, is we have to look at spending, because it's a $2 trillion a year deficit. And that wasn't caused by the 2017. That's causing the inflation.
Let me just say, so for those of us, the average citizens and taxpayers of this nation, we don't understand the verbiage that you're using, but
that's the federal government policy. I know.
But so what we understand is that we are American citizens, people who go to work and do the things that have been asked of us every day, and yet American citizens are struggling and suffering. And if our government, in a representative government, and those who are there don't understand that their responsibility is to do the dealing of us, and yet it doesn't get done, and then we hear, Earl, we know it's not working, that's not acceptable to us.
First of all, Earl, I completely understand that, okay? I come from very humble beginnings, very humble, okay? And, you know, working in the factory, you know, as I was building my business, I was working in the factory. I completely understand that. Now, we probably have a disagreement in terms of what the federal government's role should be here. Again, I'm saying the federal government is mortgaging not only our children's future, our current future. Again, inflation doesn't just happen. It's when you print too many dollars. And again, a dollar that you held at the start of the Biden administration is worth 85 cents. That has a massive impact on that family. Okay, and by the way, it's going to get worse. We haven't hit the debt crisis yet. So again, I view my role, and I'm sure you disagree with this because you probably want, and a lot of people want, more government programs.
No.
But we can't afford what we have. A $2 trillion deficit last year. So consider me a deficit hawk. I am. Okay. The number one component of solution is economic growth. I realize it doesn't spread out to everybody.
Spent on military. Let's start there.
Listen, I'm happy to talk about how we misspend money on military. I've been talking about it internally. I voted no against and I will be going back and voting no on the Ukraine funding. No, I am not happy with what we do militarily. We spend over $800 some billion in defense. China, you really don't know exactly what they spend, but it's probably less than $300 billion in 2022.
More, we spend more than the next
13 below that is even below that. Okay, no, right. I got the figures. Okay, we don't spend it very well. Okay, if your listeners haven't listened to Eisenhower's farewell address, do so. He warned us about four things:
right.
The military-industrial complex, government funding of research said it would create a scientific and technological elite that's done that. Stop plundering our children's future. The fourth warning, he said, global society cannot allow itself to descend into a state of dreadful fear and hate. And I think we've allowed that to happen as well. So again, I do look at the macro picture. I completely understand the micro family issues, but the macro impact on the family is massive government spending, $35 trillion in debt that is mortgaging all of our futures.
Well, as a family sitting around the table figuring out how we spend our money, that's the problem I think Americans have with Washington. It doesn't seem like Washington does a very good job of prioritizing.
Does a terrible job. Okay, I'm not a fan.
Because cutting expenditures, you don't want to cut them in the health area very much because health is already an insurmountable problem for people.
So I'm trying to.
It's a daycare is an insurmountable problem that needs more help.
But we got to take this one component at a time. Our healthcare system is a mess. It's we've got a healthcare financing problem, but we also have big pharma having completely captured the federal health agencies.
But the only people can fix that are the elected officials. We can't fix it, Earl.
I'm one of the few guys that held hearings during the pandemic. First of all, on early treatment, which worked, okay? I got savage. I continued to be ridiculed by, you know, pushing
cheap, generic drugs.
No, I mean, again, so our federal health agencies, all they pushed were the vaccines, which, again, we can talk about the VAERS system. We can get down to the details of this. But I am one of the few members in Congress that are trying to get just information from our health agencies, and they're stiff-arming me. They're completely opaque. They will not be transparent. But, again, that's... What the pandemic showed is that Big Pharma has completely captured our federal health agencies as well as our media. So it was their narrative, and we got screwed as a result.
So we're going to have to get on Sandy these questions.
Yeah, I was just going to shift gears because I think the problem with the prioritization leads us to some of the other issues that callers, they're worried about.
We talked about childcare, by the way, and the one program that Democrats proposed in terms of childcare, according to CBO, would have increased an average family's childcare by $13,000 a year.
So 844-967-2789. We're joined in studio by United States Senator Ron Johnson. We've got a bunch of questions from you in the audience that you were so kind enough to send to us. We're going to get on those. 844-967-2789, very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. And Senator Johnson's favorite song, Green Eyed Lady.
Green Eyed Lady, windswept lady. The waves, the sand. Green-eyed lady, ocean lady, child of nature, friend of man. Green-eyed lady, passion lady, dressed in love, she lives for
everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday, noon till 3, we're talking Super Bowl with Brady Ewing and the Week in Review with Peter Rapine on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report, sponsored by Current Electric, home of the superhero. Current Electric, a pioneer in solar energy for residential and commercial in the state. Go to callcurrent.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Local governments across Wisconsin are getting more than $138 million in the first quarterly payments for this year's general transportation aids. The money helps cover the costs of building, maintaining, and operating roads and streets under local jurisdiction. Local governments will get $536 million throughout the year. That's 2% more than local governments got last year under the previous state budget. It's tax season again. The AARP has 120 tax aid locations around Wisconsin to give seniors some free help filing their taxes. The AARP's Darren Wasniewski.
Even a modest refund for somebody who's, you know, living on Social Security can go a long way to helping alleviate some of the financial stress that they might be under.
Help is available in person or online. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. After a series of storms, including a tornado, moved through southeastern Wisconsin last night, there's a lot of cleanup to be done today. The tornado, the first ever to make landfall in Wisconsin in February, struck between Evansville and Edgerton last night at around 6. There have been lots of reports of damage so far, but there have been no reports of any significant injuries. Following 4 years of closure, Wauwatosa's Rosebud Cinema is set to reopen next week. Valentine's Day at the theater will feature the first-run film, Madam Web. The cinema had shut down in March 2020 due to the pandemic and remained closed since then. The owner is expressing gratitude for the community support and, in announcing the reopening, is emphasizing the goal of bringing first-run movies and events back to Wauwatosa. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Current Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Current Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. So what do you do when you've had a hit show on Netflix, several popular films, and now you've been nominated for a Best Actor Oscar? If you're Cillian Murphy, you start your own production company. Deadline reports that the Oppenheimer star will produce the film Steve for Netflix, in which he will play the title character, a headmaster at a reform school trying to keep his students in line while dealing with the challenges of mental health. Murphy is up for Best Actor at this year's Academy Awards. Speaking of Oscars, they will be featuring a new award in the category of casting. The Achievement in Casting Award is the first new competitive award the Academy has offered since 2001, when they started to recognize Best Animated Feature as a category. In a related story, Key Grips and Best Boys are showing solidarity, hoping to be next. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is still going to be mild today, but we have some pretty big changes coming our way. Today, sunshine with a high of 51 by early afternoon. Temperatures are going to start to drop by later today, down into the low to mid 40s by late afternoon. Wind today, southwest at 15 to 25. Tomorrow will be sunny and even colder with a high of 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
The senator knows this song.
Oh, okay. No, you got great bumper music. You know, you bring me back here all the time.
They don't make music like that anymore.
Apparently, we just let it run, right?
We can hear the whole thing, apparently.
There's a station up in Wausau. They always bring me on. It's Sons of Swing. Yeah. She found out. I just love that song, too. But, no, I love music.
All right. Welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and a very special guest, Senator Ron Johnson. Let's get to these questions. You know, we put this out there, and our audience came up. This is the number one question, Senator, that they asked. Gun violence is the number one cause of death for children. What is your office prepared to do to pass common sense gun legislation?
So we'll disagree on this. We got, 10,000 different gun control laws on the books and hasn't fixed it. There's something more basic that has to be done here. And this is easy to say, difficult to accomplish, but from my standpoint, the overall solution is renewed faith, stronger families, supportive communities. You know, again, we have all the gun laws on the books. If they would have worked, they would have worked by now, but they're not working.
Can we try this one? Can we try doing away with the gun show loophole? Nobody can tell me how it makes sense that I can go to a gun show and buy a gun from an average Joe who knows nothing about me. He doesn't know whether I'm have a felony or not, and he can sell me a gun without background check. But if I'm in the same gun show and a licensed dealer, I have to go through the background check. That makes no sense at all. Why can't we fix that?
Again, with all respect, again, I think this is just one of these arguments that, you know, people get all...
Why can't we fix
again,
that?
It would not solve the problem. If gun control laws would solve the problem, it would have been solved a long time ago.
That's not a gun.
There's more basic issues that we have to address. I mean, we were talking earlier, Robert Woodson Sr. has got a great column in the Wall Street Journal today, wrote a great book, you know, The Triumphs of Joseph, talking about these community-based programs that actually work. I mean, again, I'm not a fan of the federal government. I'm a big fan of people. I'm a big fan of community organizations taking care of situations in their own community. My daughter worked at Milwaukee Children's Hospital, you know, on the NICU and the PICU. She reports the violence. It is awful. It's awful.
But again, gun control law is not going to fix it. I live in the city of Milwaukee and urban centers across the nation where the blood is running in the street. 14-year-old kids can get their hands on guns. They don't get it based on going to a gun dealer. It's because people can bring guns into the community and sell those guns because these gun show loopholes.
It's not the gun show. Okay, it's the fact there's, 400 million guns in America at least.
And counting.
And criminals are going to get guns.
No.
Okay?
How do they get the guns?
They're all over there. I mean, it ends up being a free market. Okay. So again, I'm just saying, gun control is not going to fix the problem. I'd love to fix the problem, but that's not going to fix it.
Good. Well, I think maybe another question that was sort of related to earlier, we talked about the stridency and the partisanship that makes it hard to have conversations. One of the issues that's been out there now for 3 years, a little more than 3 years, that is this question of the legitimacy of the last election, and the notion that the election was stolen, and there was all this litigation that had basically established facts that there was no proof of that, but it continues to be talked about. Do you continue to take the position?
I've never said the election was stolen ever.
Well,
it's never come out of my mouth. You know, if you recall, 2016 election was also questioned, but I guess you can
not question, to this degree.
Regardless, what I've always said, and it's undeniable, there were certainly irregularities in the 2020 election.
I mean, irregularities.
Well, 270,000 ballots cured by clerks, which was against, contrary to Wisconsin election law. observers who couldn't observe, you know, balloting in the park, the Green Bay election system taking over by Zuckerbucks. So there are irregularities. But I have never said that the election was stolen. What I've said is what we need to do is restore confidence in our election system. In order to do that, again, on an equal basis, the way to do that is to have controls. You know, right now in Wisconsin, what we've done from the Republican standpoint is we've made sure that we've got enough poll workers that keep eyes on the process. And I always add, I want as many Democrat poll workers as there are Republican poll workers so that we can restore confidence to our election system.
But Senator,
that's been my system.
But Senator, saying restore confidence to the election system is a bit like the arsonist saying we have to have fewer fires. Half of the reason
that's my line on the border.
Okay, but half of the reason we don't have confidence has been this broad scale assault on the legitimacy of the last election. I mean, there wasn't a lot of lack of confidence in the elected process in 2015 or 2014. You know, this question of whether the election process is fraught with problems.
Remember, 2016, all of a sudden Russia interfered in the election, and that's what handed the election to Donald Trump. So in 2016, half of the voters did not view that as a legitimate result. Fast forward to 2020. Now the other half doesn't. What I've said, that's an unsustainable state of affairs. I want on a nonpartisan basis, I want to restore confidence in our election system. And by the way, in 2022, I think we did to a great extent in Wisconsin, not by passing laws, but having observers to keep an eye on the process. And I think people had greater confidence in 2022.
Do you think the majority of the American people think that they can't trust our election system?
I think there are tens of millions of Americans that have concerns.
Yeah. Tens of millions there's 325 or 50 million Americans.
I think that's just true. I think tens of millions of Americans have concerns about our election system.
That's the small minority.
And in 2016, tens of millions on the left. In 2020, tens of millions on the right. And that's just not a sustainable state of affairs.
The discussion in 2016 had to do with social media intrusions. It didn't have to do with the legitimacy of electors. Okay,
that's legitimate election denial, right? No. You know, Stacey Abrams, that's legitimate election denial. You know, Hillary Clinton telling Joe Biden, if you lose, don't admit you lose prior to the 2020 election. That's okay, but then when people on the right see observers not being able to observe, and you see real concerns about, again, absentee ballots being cured, which is not allowed in state law, you can't raise that as an issue because that's illegitimate election questioning. So now, again, I want to restore confidence in our election system. And the only way you do that is you have to have certain controls. You have to have both parties' eyes on the process. And that's what I'm for.
Would Senator Johnson favor publicly funded elections?
No.
You want to elaborate?
Just no.
Is money in politics a problem?
It is. But my solution would be put it back into campaigns and have complete transparency. So the minute you get a contribution, within 24 hours, that contribution is posted. If somebody wants to give you $1 million, let them, and then that's...
So no dark money.
No, because that's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust me. I hate the finance system. I hate it. I don't like campaign consultants. Okay. I mean, I would have loved to have done what Bill Proxmire did.
I was going to say
years ago, just, here's $200. And I kept telling campaign, I think I should do that. Just spend $200 and, but realistically, you can't do that. Listen, I hate our campaign system right now. It's awful.
I mean, so
participating in it, it's even worse.
So money in politics is a problem, and money speaks too loudly, doesn't it, in politics?
The problem is, and again, this is going to sound partisan, because it is, but the fact of the matter is...
not partisan.
The fact of the matter is the media, by and large, is from the left.
Popular media source.
Most of the media is from the left. Our public educational institutions are pretty much from the left.
What does that mean?
So again, Republicans really—it's not a level playing field. It's not a fair fight. So you've got union participation, a bunch of volunteers that doesn't cost money. So, in order to make it somewhat fair to get a message out, Republicans have to spend a lot more money to get the same amount of messaging out. The media being the drumbeat for the left.
So I have to ask you. Because I keep hearing things or people from the left as if that's from a different planet or as if that's criminal. What is it about the views from people who are on the left that seem to kind of blow up the minds of people who seem to think that people on the left who want to fight for the average person, who want to make sure that things are fair and equitable and just, that's kind of what I hear people on the left pushing for.
Well, because
why is that so?
Because the left is the political movement that supports things like socialism, and socialism doesn't work.
I'm not saying
capitalism perfect,
but that's a pretty simplistic answer.
I think it's pretty simplistic. It is a simplest because it only needs a simple answer. For example, Venezuela, oil rich nation. Okay, one election with Chavez, and all of a sudden that thing is a basket case economy. Socialism destroyed that country. And the Venezuelans voted themselves into poverty. Socialism doesn't work.
When Chavez was around and the oil was nationalized in Venezuela, the people lived well. So we can't all of a sudden say that that's the reason because of socialism. Okay. Well, when you know.
So your listeners do need to understand that, you know, in between the breaks here, you know, we've had, you know, really fun conversations, and, you know, the questions are a little bit more pointed, and so it ends up being a little more contentious. But I think, you know, certainly my experience coming in here, being welcomed, very welcomed, you know, there's a lot more areas of agreement between the three of us than disagreement. Now we're talking about questions where, you know, there's disagreement, you know, but then that's fine. I have no problem with it.
These are the questions that the listening audience asked us to pose to you.
But so, I think there's just much more important questions that we should be talking about.
Well, that's not what the audience thinks.
My problem being on the radio show and talking is to try to get away from talking about left and right and try to talk about issues and solutions. And so, you know, we end up, to some extent, fanning the flames.
But the questions that we just talked about right now,
were
very partisan questions.
Money and politics.
They are.
Well, Senator, let me just be respectful. But
I told you I hate money and politics.
The question was money and politics, and then you brought in the fact that the left had money that the right needed.
But the solution proposed is government funding of it, which I don't think would be a good idea.
Well, no, these are the eight top questions of the audience.
So let's go on to number four.
But Citizens United, for instance, the problem. Do you think that has created more of a problem, money and politics?
I think McCain-Feingold made the biggest problem. I mean, McCain-Feingold is the one that pushed money outside of campaigns into the super PACs, you know, the dark money, which, you know, by the way, I think Democrats, by and large, have a lot more dark money than Republicans have dark money. I think that's a big problem.
Mean, you say that you can't corroborate that.
Well, I'll send you corroboration.
Yeah.
I didn't bring all my fact sheets here, but.
Democrats
are outraising, you know, on low, you know, they just got more dark money. They got more billionaires. They're billionaires. Billionaires don't get doxxed.
How do you measure that?
No, there's just you know, published information on this. No. There's actually published information. I'll get my staff on it. We'll supply the information. By the way, we're smiling here. Okay.
Well, we've got a bunch of folk on the phone line, and we've got some other questions. Got to take 844-967-2780. Now we're going to try to squeeze as many in as possible. Very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. We're honored to have in the studio United States Senator Ron Johnson. You're tuned into 540 AM WAUK, The Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
It's a long, long road. From the weeds there is no return.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Matt Nair on air.
I want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my birds.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I saw the Ramones in that place on their last tour.
Oh, wow.
I was doing the club next door, and we just walked next door after our show.
Did you use the old, we're the comedians line?
That's a big thing in stand-up. For those of you listening, comics will use that to get in anywhere. Hi, we're the comedians next door.
Yeah, we're the comics.
Like you're with the FBI or something, but sometimes it works. People are like, oh, that's so cool. Come on in.
Oh, you're a comics. Yeah, come on in.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Shaw, WAUK.
We find ourselves in a world of our own.
As we stroll along together, holding hands, walking all alone, so
special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Our guest is United States Senator Ron Johnson. We're going to go to the phone lines quickly. Calvin, who do you want to bring up?
Sure. Let's hear from Cindy from Appleton.
Hey, Cindy, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You and Senator Ron Johnson.
Hello, and Senator Johnson, I hope that you'll let me finish my question before you start answering.
Quickly.
Yep. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that you just got done saying a little while ago that you care about people and communities, yet you do not support unions or fair wages or health care for all, women's rights, LGBTQ rights. So how can you say you care about communities and people?
Thank you very much for the call, Cindy. Senate?
Because I do. Yeah, so hopefully somebody with a question rather than an accusation, but no, I obviously care about people.
Thank you very much. Who do we have up next, Calvin?
Let's go to Malik from Racine.
Hey, Malik, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You and Senator Ron Johnson.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to ask the senator, you know, everything, as I've been listening for the last 30 minutes, everything that he's been saying, you know, I tend to agree with. But at the end of the day, you know, his actions in supporting sending billions of dollars in funding and enabling the current genocide of Gaza, how does that, you know, coincide with basically the message he spoke earlier?
Thank you very much for the call.
First of all, I voted against the funding for the, you know, supplemental. That's Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. So right now I'm voting against all that. I think we should support Israel and its ability to defend itself, however.
Let's go to Robert. Calvin, is that Robert? Who do we have? Quickly.
Bob from Waukesha.
Bob from Waukesha. Bob, quickly.
Senator Johnson, when Oshkosh Truck got the contract to build vehicles for the post office, and people asked you, why didn't you try and have them keep those jobs in Wisconsin? You said it was none of your business where they sent the jobs. That's why we send you to Washington. Our tax money goes to Washington, and our return, you could have gotten jobs for people in Wisconsin.
Hey, Bob, we don't have enough time. Thank you very much for the call. Senator Johnson, you want to respond?
Well, there was no facility to accommodate that production facility here in Wisconsin. I knew that. And, you know, by and large, it's not my job to tell a private company where they should be producing things.
All right. I think it's important that we talk about a project that you've been involved in for a long time called the Joseph Project. Let's talk a little bit about the Joseph Project.
Well, again, it was inspired by Pastor Jerome Smith and Orlando Owen, my staff member. You have all this opportunity in all these manufacturing facilities all over the state, and yet you have these pockets of poverty. So they gain together, and this is a Joseph Project is 4 days a week, 3 days, 3 hours a day. And within that time frame, we really stress the importance of commitment to success and proper attitude. We get these, you know, people
so
get
the
jobs.
So 4 days a week, 3 hours training, 3 hours is training.
Well, yeah, 3 hours, four days in the first, and then they get job interviews, and they get jobs, and it transforms their lives. And the project got its name from a wonderful book by Robert Woodson Sr. called The Triumphs of Joseph, which just described all these community-based projects, oftentimes started by somebody who has found redemption in his or her life, and they take that redemption and help others. And to me, that's the solution starts with individuals. You help people. You save people, you transform lives one at a time. Again, I'm at the federal government. We're mortgaging our kids' future. I'm just not a fan of the federal government action. It just doesn't work.
Sandy, you got something you want to?
Well, I guess my frustration with the current situation is the inability of getting Washington to focus on the problems that matter to the middle class people. And we've spent a lot of money on international matters. We spent a lot of emotional energy on social issues that might matter at some level, sort of a blood boiling kind of an interest. But how do we get Washington to focus on solving the problem of Tom, Dick, and Mary?
Well, first of all, it does, and it spends trillions of dollars. I mean, over $20 trillion on the war on poverty. Really haven't done much in terms of reducing the poverty rate.
We're literally spending
$6.4 trillion, yes, $884 billion in defense. I mean, I talked about that. We don't spend that money well, but we spend trillions of dollars on transfer payments, on assistance, on entitlement programs. We spend trillions. We just don't spend it very well.
Well, at another time, we'll talk more specifically about the budget and how it breaks down, because we talk with broad arm waves about entitlements when the largest of the entitlements are Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
And the trust funds are running out.
Well,
and the question on the table is, are we going to have the financial wherewithal to plus up those benefits to meet those promises? And right now, it's not looking like we're going to have the financial wherewithal, not $35 trillion in debt heading toward 50.
Well, there are people who certainly have some ideas on how to fix that, you know.
The $400,000 lid on paying FICA is one of the aspects. But the issue is that...
Remember... Social Security is not supposed to be an entitlement, it's not supposed to be transfer payment. It's supposed to be you put your money in, you get it out. Okay.
Right.
Now
the
problem with Social Security is people put their money in and government spent it. It didn't invest it for them. U.S. government bonds is not a true investment. It has no value to the federal government. So it's worth those bonds are worthless because you got to float additional bonds. So the problem is it was mismanaged from the start. And it's, you know, so the American people are lied to when it comes to Social Security. So, again, the question is, it's a pay-as-you-go system. Right now, we're paying out more benefits than we're getting in revenue. So we're depleting that trust fund. And when 2035 rolls around, that trust fund's depleted. Are we going to have the financial wherewithal to plus up those benefits to meet those promises? The only way we do that is we have to get our fiscal house in order. And you don't do that by raising taxes and reducing incentive for people to create jobs.
That's United States Senator Ron Johnson. We want to thank you for accepting the invitation. We want to extend the invitation to you again.
As long as you have as good a bumper music. I think you're 5 for 5, 4 for 4. Loved it.
Well, I was going to have great bumper music. But thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks
again,
for having
we'll
me.
Extend the invitation again. 844-967-2789. Hang on the phone lines. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
We will vow to be
Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Thrivent is growing in southeastern Wisconsin and seeking financial advisors. If a career with independence, impact, and purpose is important to you, you should explore the Thrivent Financial Advisor opportunity. Build your own business. Use your values, drive, and skills to help others. You'll get unsurpassed support from Thrivent, a Fortune 500 company. To learn more, send your contact information to wicareers@thrivent.com.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.